John, we have a team of suited and booted peeps in the studio, and Ali's wearing a summery dress.
Right.
We should get a picture of this and put it on Facebook a little bit later on our website as well. Now, special guests, we've got Phil Jordan in, Councillor Phil Jordan, Lord Jordan of Ryde.
Of Binstead.
Binstead, okay. And we've also got Paul Herbert. We've been trying to get you to come in for the last couple of years, and you've been difficult to get hold of. But we welcome you, and thank you for coming in today, this lunchtime. How are you, Paul?
Oh, very well, Liam. Thank you very much.
You look kind of relaxed. I thought you might have been a bit stressed out, because apparently I've got a bit of a reputation, but don't worry.
You have, no, but we'll build on that. I'm sure that the stress can come through this interview.
Do you know what? Firstly, I've got to say, Ali's brought up a good point about Arrowton off air, and she says it's absolutely spectacular. Is that right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, definitely.
And I was out and about last week on my motor scooter, and I went through to East Cowes, and that road's been done recently, which is, it looks absolutely fantastic. And on a bike, some of the roads on the island are quite scary. That's not your fault, because I say it's years and years of abuse. But the road to going to East Cowes now is absolutely wonderful. So congratulations on that. And there's a few other roads that you know, have been done very recently, and we can see where this is all going to go to. You know, it's going to take time, but we are going to have some really, really decent roads. What's been the biggest issue that you've had?
200 years worth of worst weather last year probably springs to mind, being the toughest challenge we've needed to face, and I'm pleased to say that the crews stood by the business. They were available, working through the night constantly. I mean, I think it was a period of like 9 weeks where it didn't stop raining, and the high tides and wind that came in, 99 mile an hour winds off of the Needles, and that started St Jude's storm in October. We had the Christmas Eve storm, and then we had the Valentine's Day storm. So you think that period, that was really intense in terms of undertake the activities, how that affects the road condition and increasing the potholes. But actually the team spirit that was there from the business, and actually the local supply chain, and let's not forget, actually it's wider than just Island Roads business. We actually impact on the communities, and actually the local supply chain, and everybody came together, and that showed the community spirit on the island, which I think is a success, and the islanders should be proud of.
There's lots of things that we want to ask you. Hopefully we're going to clear up a lot of myths as well, because I get frustrated. I know Phil came in a little while ago, and we were talking about contracts that were signed about, 2-3 years ago, that were kind of not so much out of date. They just didn't fit. They didn't work. And since then, I know you guys have been getting together through solicitors and so on and so forth, because that's how it's having to be done. There'd be a lot of people that are not in the knowledge of how difficult that is. I mean, i.e., a lot of people were moaning and groaning a couple of... And I was one of those people. Hang on a minute, you're painting lines on a Sunday. Yes, because it says so in the contract. Well, hang on a minute, let's sort out the contracts. Are we in the process of still sorting those out? How long is it going to take, and is it like an ongoing thing?
Sure, we're in discussion, and some of the improvements, and I call them improvements, and hindsight, people can throw that into the equation as well. Actually, road marking is a good example. Yes, we were instructed to do the road marking, and yes, we had to do it within a prescribed amount of time within the contract. Outside of that, don't forget that there is still a requirement on all councils and all authorities where you have to maintain the asset, road marking being an asset. So any county across the country would have to maintain their road marking. Road marking on the island was equally underinvested in terms of asset over prevailing years before the contract, and therefore needed to be upgraded anyhow and then maintained at that standard. That's industry standard. So yes, whilst it did seem illogical, we couldn't consequently leave the lines for a 7-year period. They'd have been non-existent even more. So there is some logic in doing it. Yes, we could have done it in a different way, but that's some of the discussions we're now having.
Is it ongoing then? How long do we get? How long is it going to happen before we get all the contracts sorted so you can go and do your job? I mean, because it must be a real pain in the backside. Something that Phil said last time, which when you explain to people that they their jaws drop. The bit where you have to or can only do 660-odd square meters,
165 meters.
And then you have to move somewhere else to do it. I mean, that's someone else's contract. That's someone else's telling you what to do. And I mean, I dare say that if it was left to you, that's not how you would do it. So how do we eradicate that? Have we eradicated that?
Okay, sure. yes, the contract is quite explicit about how we need to upgrade the road. So if you put it into to a higher level logic, layman terms, so we all understand it, we don't get too embroiled in detail. The island asset, 803 kilometres of carriageway, 756 kilometres of footway, and we go on 12,000 streetlights, etc., etc. All of that needs to be upgraded over a seven-year period. You need to start somewhere. And for sure, we'll finish somewhere. If we'd have started and looked at the island as you would a clock and started in a clockwise direction, those in Gurnard, in Cowes, would have been very disappointed because they wouldn't have got anything done for 7 years. So the logic is upgrade the asset equally across the six districts and equally over the 7 years. So that works. The way the contract is written, and you need to start somewhere, it does do it in smaller sections, which was given lack of public satisfaction and poor perception, and us as well. We didn't particularly like doing it in that way. There's greater efficiency, and actually construction, less road construction joints, it improves the asset. So we're in dialogue with the council to say, hey, there's a different way of doing this, but still keeping with the initial concept of upgrading the asset equally over the 7 years across all six districts. So I hope we're working our way through that. You know, we welcome the introduction of Atkins in terms of the industry expert, the technology expert that will come in and advise that this is a good way of working forward, and then we'll come up with a way of working. But in between times, we're still doing the contract, we're still delivering what we need to, and we're actually still trying to create longer sections. So Arrowton is a good example, where there's a 2.2 kilometre section of carriageway there that's being stitched together. We're going to do it all in one go. We're going to do some footways, the street lightings are done. That's a good example. Similarly, Boldner, footway, streetlights, drainage, carriageways, all done. And yes, you have a bit of disruption to bring it to that standard, but actually you can see what it looks like and what the rest of the island will look like. And equally, you commented on the roads into East Cowes. So there's another good example where main roads are being done.
It's working, and I say it must be so frustrating though, getting the message across, getting the message out there, because you talk to people and they kind of don't understand that yes, these contracts have kind of tied you up a little bit, and by working on them now, it means that you can work properly in the future. I mean, it's probably is it more frustrating for you being a councillor?
Yeah, it's no more frustrating, Ian. But
yeah, Phil, you have to talk into that microphone there.
That one there. It's no more frustrating, Ian. Yeah. We're in a similar place to where we were. The contract exists, and it asks the contractor, the service provider, to do certain things in a certain way, in a certain time, and that's what we're monitoring, and we're expecting the provider to do that. However, having insisted that they do that and added some pressure to do that by bringing in consultants and our own team, Island Roads have started to go out and with a bit of a vengeance resurface, relay our roads. And some of those roads going forward from here on in for the next 5 years are going to be main roads, and main roads that'll have to be closed. And when you close those roads, we're going to get disruption. And it's unfortunate that at the same time we're insisting that they bring our roads up to a standard, that our residents are complaining that we're closing the roads whilst we're resurfacing to bring them up to that standard. So I sympathise and empathise with the provider on that at least. Yeah.
It must be so difficult, because most people with any common sense can look at it and say, right, well, you've got to close the road. That's really the only way around it. I mean, are you surprised at some people's attitude?
I am, because what happens is if we take Arrowton again, I mean, it's a good example, because we're going to learn a little bit from this experience anyway. But we put some diversions. We spoke to everybody. When I say we, Island Roads did, spoke to everybody that you could ever think of speaking to. Parish Council, we spoke to emergency services, bus companies, residents, businesses, and so on and so forth, to try and come to a consensus of how to approach the work. Well, we arrived at a consensus. It doesn't suit everyone, but that's not what consensuses are. So the majority seemed to like the way that we approached it, and we did it. So a lot of traffic spilled out into Godsill, with the prospect of it being a diversion for up to about 12 weeks. Now, the options for diverting heavy traffic from Arrowton Main Road are very, very, very limited, extraordinarily limited. Otherwise, we start pushing them down small country lanes. We'll have all kinds of problems with vehicles stuck in country lanes. So we have to stick to reasonably large roads. And the people in God's Hill, some residents, some businesses, are finding it, and I understand this, of course, but they're finding it extraordinarily difficult to have this increase in traffic. The same traffic that Arrowton puts up with every day of the week. And so it's quite frustrating because there are very, very, very few options. We've been asked to reduce speeds. We've listened to that in God's Hill. We've listened to that. We're going to put in traffic monitors, you know, these lights that flash up when you go past at a certain speed, trying to reduce the speed. But, you know, traffic diversions and how you try and manage traffic are very complicated. So if you start slowing traffic down too much, you get bottlenecks, you get stop-start. People, local residents and people knowing where they're going will get to know that there's a bottleneck in God's Hill and start taking other routes through other country lanes, causing other disruption, other confusion in other villages, and so on and so forth, and it just spills out. It's really, really, really difficult to manage this.
Some people question the timing of it as well. I mean, just to clarify, you know, I'm not going to put the words in your head. I mean, you know, I want to hear it from you, as everyone else should. But I mean, some people will say, well, why are you doing it now? It's like almost summertime, and lots more people are on the Isle of Wight. I'm guessing, you know, maybe it's down to the weather, but I need you to clarify that.
Yeah, it's the weather and the winter. But look, Paul can help with that because I've heard him explain this number of times already. But there's a very good reason why we don't dig up and try and relay roads in the middle of winter. Good reason. Paul will explain it from a technical point of view.
Thank you. Before you do, can you just clarify what you would call winter? What months? So we can spell it out there nice and simple for all those people out there that are questioning when you should be doing the work.
September to April, Ian. Yeah.
And somewhere in between that as well. Weather is a fickle thing, and a weather person I am not. But I mean, for weather and winter, even summer can cause us delays. You know, if you've got heavy onset rain, frosts, clearly snow, all of those aspects will affect the material that's being installed, the temperatures that it can be installed at. So winter can be at any time. You know, inclement weather is a better terminology for it. Typically, we will work whilst the weather is above 0 degrees, so somewhere up until end of October, November. Yes, I know that the temperatures still can be fairly mild at that time, and we manage that as we approach those months. We also then look at the residual temperatures that drop overnight. Typically, we get the worst weather, we would hope, in January, February, and then temperatures start to rise again in March. So you could say somewhere between end of October, November, through to about March is when the temperature, the ambient temperature, road temperature is too low, and combined with the wind rains that come with it. What we've learned over the first couple of years of the project is we got heavily criticised for starting a job that was going to take 2 days. It then took 3 days, or we had to dig a part of it out again, which is, you know, delay costs for us and actually delays for residents. So they don't like the delay. If a road's going to be done, do it when you say you're going to do it, and do it well. That's something we're learning, and how we get out and communicate those benefits. That's what it's about, you know. Your point is probably very well made. It's taken you 2 years to get me on air. That wasn't deliberate. I'm not sure that I got the invite, but actually Vectis Radio might be the answer to communicating with residents so that we understand, you know, in the communities what we're trying to achieve, how we're going to achieve it. As you said, bust some myths.
Well, that's what we're all about, and that's what we want to do. I get fed up of hearing people tell me what they think. And what they think and what they actually know are two different things. I mean, and if they take the time and the trouble, maybe that's where we come in. Maybe it's the fault of the island's media. They, instead of giving it to you straight and giving you the story, they spin it and make people, because it's more interesting. It's more interesting to say, oh, Blimmin' Island Roads. I don't see it that way. I would much rather be out there with the absolute truth, so people absolutely, they know where they stand and they know the reasons why, and then they can stop moaning about that and moan something about something else, because that's what will happen. They'll moan about something different. So if we put the facts and figures out there, and that's all we wanted to do, I mean, let's be honest, we can make a little list now of all the other things that we could actually moan about and push it away from Island Roads. I mean, we've said, we started at the offset that there's a number of roads that I've noticed. I don't drive that much on the island. I don't go here, there and everywhere. But, you know, some of the roads that I've been on in the last couple of weeks are far superior than they were. So, you know, credit where credit's due. We don't talk about that enough, though. We don't big up what's positive and what's good. We only moan about what needs doing. Yes, there is plenty to be done. I'll ask you a question on behalf of Newport, because the High Street is dreadful. There's potholes aplenty. When do you reckon we're going to get something? Because I would imagine that may be affecting trade and it puts people off. So is there a big plan of lists of things in order? When can Newport expect to be, because the outskirts are going well. It's just you go through the town on my little bike. I'm thinking, crikey, that is, you're taking your life in your own hands. So is there a plan for Newport, and is there an overall plan for the Isle of Wight that you can share with us?
Sure, there's an overall plan, and yeah, I don't have it with me today, so in terms of dates and times, that would need to be critiqued a bit later on. But for sure, there's a plan. We survey the island. We do it visually. We do it with technology and scan the surface and the structural integrity of any particular road on the island. The requirement of the contract is to equally raise those type of roads, the hierarchies across each six districts. So on an annual basis, we roughly know what we're going to be doing. That's then critiqued by local information. So we go and we ask for feedback from town, parish council, something we've improved on, we've listened, that we didn't take on maybe as much dialogue, or perceived we didn't take on enough communication with residents, councils, town parish councils, where people understand what are their worst roads, and then we try and build those into the programme as well. So Newport, I'll take that away from you, Ian, to see if we can introduce that into the programme and weigh that up with the technology that tells us at what condition it is. So it's not just so-and-so is asked and we bring it forward in a programme. There needs to be a technical solution and reason for why it's being brought forward. The timing needs to be right. And clearly Newport is not one that you'd want to do in the highest season of the summer. I think you use the words, it's nearly summer now. That's a good analogy. We're trying to get some of the main routes done in now before the main tourist season starts. And then anyone can see the benefit of that through the summer season. Anyone who drives for Arrowton during that summer season will go, hey, the island is getting better. Maybe that regeneration is what's going to bring additional visitors to the island, because it'll be a nice place to come, whether that's on a scooter, a bike, a car, you know, and all of that. You know, we've pulled the Pearl Azumi in. We've upgraded that entire route. You know, that event wouldn't have happened if we hadn't have upgraded that route. You know, there's some of the benefits, and through dialogue with the local town, parish councils, Phil was included in that as well. We pulled that together, so we all had a bit of disruption, but actually we brought something unique to the island.
Do you know what? I mean, that's fantastic, and credit for that as well, because there were a lot of people that complained about that. Why are they getting preferential treatment? Well, the alternative is, and sometimes it's bog standard, just look at the alternative. The alternative is we don't have it. And I'm sure that none of us want, you know, to get to a situation where we don't have these things. Because they're bringing money to the island. They're putting us in the spotlight and making us look good. So, you know, no negativity. Let's just get on with it, I guess. We've got to put up with it.
To take the first point, Ian, things aren't just brought forward because someone would like them done because they happen to know me. That was done, and that was already in the programme. So Cross Street, All Around Ride, that was in the programme to be done this year and probably back end of September. So that period of time, those closures, those issues that were on, that would have happened at this point, at some point this year. Far be it that we pull it forward and then we get some benefit out of it. And there's the logic. So it wasn't just pulled forward because we've got an event coming. Actually, it was needing doing. Cross Street was falling apart. We'd only just resurfaced and heavily patched some of that probably a year and a half ago, and it fell apart. You know, some of the services there, the water ingress that was coming from those apparatus needed to be improved, and the drainage. So overall, you know, it was a real good win-win for residents, for tourists, and for the event itself. I'm pleased to be part of it.
Good. And I say, you must be aware of this horse's mouth. You must be aware of some of the worst roads on the island, because I bet you get told often enough. So is there, you know, the worst ones are going to get done first? Just like, for instance, another one I'm plucking out of the air now, the river, is it Riverway? Riverway is horrendous, absolutely horrendous. You know this. So is there a plan to do that in the near future, or are we going to have to wait a couple of years?
Again, I'll take note of the Riverway and find out when it's actually going to be in the programme, and I can come back to you and let you know that. The context of the PFI is that actually we do the worst roads first. but the worst road in one district may not be as bad as the worst road in another district. So therefore, you have to pick in the entire island, not just isolated roads. But certainly, we are picking on the worst roads. There's no benefit to me to not do those worst roads because I have to keep attending to them. You know, it costs me money every time my guys go and repair a defect. And I don't want them to be doing that. Much better upgrade them. And we feed that information in. So as we know, and I said to you, we get the survey data back, and then we put the local information in. And that's the district stewards. They go around, they survey, they inspect for safety reasons all of the entire asset, footways, carriageways and the like, and we feed that information into the annual programme, and then it tweak it to improve certain roads if they need to be done earlier.
Now, I know on your website there's lots of details, and do you still welcome people saying, "Yeah, this road's really bad, can you have a look at it?" Or, you know, I'm sure you're aware of it anyway, but here you go, can you have a look?
Yep, you know, we welcome. You can go onto the website islandroads.com, and on there is a report it online function, sits at the top right hand side. I think it's a green button unless someone's changed the colours, and you go on there and you can report a defect. More to that, you can actually see where other defects have been raised. So you can see if someone has already reported that defect or whether what you've seen is something different. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get fixed. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get pulled forward in the improvement programme. There are requirements, industry standards that we meet and have to meet under the contract. So there is rhyme and reason as to what we do and how we do it, albeit sometimes that might appear to be illogical.
But the good thing is, I mean, other people are involved and they can play a part in it, because you can't be everywhere, can you? There must be you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of roads out there. Some people have said to me in the past, it's impossible to do what you're going to have to do in 25 years, to do every single road, every single pavement.
Yeah, I like to think it's impossible to do it in 25 years. We're doing it in 7. So I think the grey hair is starting to come if it actually stays on top of my head. Within the 7 years, we are upgrading the majority of the roads, the assets, the streetlights. I mean, to be fair, we drive on the roads, therefore that's what most people see. But we have got streetlights, there's footways, there's drainage, there's culverts. Take Boldon Road, you've got investment schemes, the Dover. The whole emphasis is upgrading the assets on the island, road signs, traffic signals. You know, it's all being done, some impact more than others, and certainly road closures and carriageways is what people see, but the improvements are certainly coming across the island.
How much change behind the scenes, Phil, in the last 6 months is there, so people can draw some positivity from this?
Well, Ian, we're seeing some improvement on the roads. Island roads are starting to deliver. What Paul hasn't mentioned yet, but he's has said, and publicly and to me privately, is that they've doubled their road crews. So the amount of team that there'll be two teams out surfacing roads. That's why some of the amount of road works that we see on the island will increase, probably with road closures. But look, behind all of that, we're still in negotiations, still talking about the nitty-gritty of the contract. It still impacts. We've got to responsibly approach this from two angles. One is we've got to solve what issues we have in the contract. We have to do that for both of us, for us as authority, for Island Roads as a provider. We've got to do that. And we're doing that because we're in negotiations, we're talking about those things, we're arguing about them in some cases, and we're disagreeing about them. That's going forward. We will solve that. At the same time, we want them to carry on and do our roads, and do our footpaths, and do our lighting, and do the other things that they do under the contract. And they're doing that and delivering that. So there are very, very much positives out of this. And of course, as we go on, this is year two, the end of the second year of the 7 year period, 7 years when they will bring all of the roads up to standard. So it's year two, another 5 to go. We are seeing the improvements, and as we get to the end of year 3 and year 4, there's less to be looking for to be done. So in a sense, this is self-certifying, isn't it? As we go forward in the 7 years, there'll be more roads done and less to do.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is, you know, be patient, because another 2 years and we'd have broken the back of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen, barring any unforeseen eventualities. Can I just say one other thing? I don't get into too many commercial details, but of course, one of the problems that Island Roads had was to deliver asphalt on the island, and that to some extent hindered them getting out the starting blocks in April 2013. So in hindsight, we can also see, as an authority, we needed to give them some time and space to resolve that. because as an authority, we didn't want them to build an asphalt plant down the Medina River, if you remember. And that had an impact on their service delivery. So we've understood that as well, and we do understand that. And I suspect very much that part of that has made them double up their road crews and get going with the road surfacing now. But all that will do and is doing is create more road closures and disruption. And that's what we're going to ask residents to bear with us with when there are road closures and disruptions, diverted traffic, albeit on a short-term basis, you know, weeks rather than years for a road closure, that they bear with us and see the finished thing. Go look, as Paul said, go look at Arrowton, go look at Boldener Road, go look at the Dover. Today we're starting work, I hope, on Marshcombe Shoot. Yeah.
It's 9 o'clock this morning,
yeah,
apparently.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Paul, can you confirm this?
Yes, we are. As he rushes out of the room to ask somebody else a question.
Phil, just one other question. We touched on it a little while ago. We know that the previous regime sorted out the contracts for Island Roads, and we now know that some of those, the bits in the contracts, they don't work, and they don't, you know, they're not workable. Is it something that is going to continue for the next few years before you can say, right, okay, the cuffs are now off, you can now go and do what you need to do, Island Roads, or is it going to be an ongoing thing?
Oh, Ian, we're in negotiations over the key contractual clauses. I'm hopeful that we can resolve them. Giving a time span on that be really, really difficult. But, you know, I'd be disappointed if we stretch outside this year.
Okay, so people understand the difficulties. I mean, you know, because I'm looking at you, you're looking at me, and I'm thinking, well, hang on, we both know this isn't working in this way. It's beginning to in different areas. That's because we've adjusted things. Mm. Surely it makes sense for just somebody to say, right, this is what we're doing. How difficult is it to make some changes?
Well, it's very difficult in some cases because we've got entirely different views on what the contract says. So it's not even a question of the thing that you mentioned earlier about 165 metres from memory. We can look at that. That's not terribly contentious.
What's the issue then, Phil? Is it because the lawyers get in the way,
or is it the
fact that you can't agree with Island Roads and vice versa?
Well, that particular clause is something we can resolve. I hope fairly easily. The problem is that often it becomes part of all of the negotiations as well. So that when you try to negotiate, I mean, there's an overview of the contract that we need to come to terms and agreement with, and there's individual contractual issues, and there's a bit of both. If we approach it just by issue, we'll probably fail, Ian.
Right.
So we need a bigger approach to it as well. Some of the issues are easier to resolve. Some are more difficult because our interpretation, advised by lawyers, has polarised us. We have one view on what a clause in the contract says, and the service provider has another. And that's we're at other ends of the scale. So there's a bit of work to do on those particular issues. But other issues are resolvable. Yeah, 165 minutes doesn't seem to make any sense, does it? Why does it make? I'm yet to understand why we ever did that. There must have been a good reason why the people that drew up the contract thought that was a good idea, but it escapes me. I'm not sure. Yeah. I much prefer Island Roads to turn up at the start of a road and resurface it and stop at the other end of the road.
Makes sense, unless
it's a military road.
Well, unless, of course, it's something we don't know. Us people out here, we're not experts when it comes down to it. Would you agree with that, Paul? Would you agree? You know, 165. Right, you've got to stop now and go somewhere else. I mean, would you agree that that's not workable and it's not helpful?
In terms of public perception, for sure, it's not helpful, because I think that's evident on the island since we've been going. That's been number one. Why have you done that bit, and why did you stop there, and why did you start here? So I think, I totally agree on that aspect. Actually, you could look at it, revisit it, and say public perception. Is there any benefit? Probably not. So they're the bits that we're working through for sure. And yeah, I've got no issue.
Were you part of the negotiations at the beginning? I mean, if so, would you have negotiated it differently?
I suppose if I try and sit on the fence, if I may. No, I wasn't involved in the negotiations of the contract, how it was set up over the number of, you know, 7 3-year leading up to this project. But you need to start somewhere. Hindsight's a good thing, and actually the logic of upgrading the asset equally across six districts is there. Learning from that, as you would with any project that you have, yeah, there's some changes and improvements that can be made, and I think that's where we are in most instances, is just tweaking and improving what was the outset of the project. I don't see that there was anything majorly at odds. I think it's just interpretation.
How good is the relationship that you have with the council now? Is it improving? Was it? I mean, what is it? Because at the beginning we're thinking, well, there must have been a few issues because obviously things were going wrong and people were getting a bit grumpy, and you know. But now we're taking steps forward. How good is the relationship?
I don't think the relationship was broken before. I think there was just equal frustrations across the board, lack of understanding, and that comes to communication and understanding about the project. You know, since Phil has been involved with the project, he has dug deeper than I've seen anyone dig, and actually tries to understand it from a community point of view, from a residence point of view, board us making sure we're delivering the project as what we signed up for, and you know, full compliments to Phil in doing that. So yeah, Phil and I have had some interesting conversations in meetings, and actually, no, we can both see actually none of us are probably at fault. We are trying to deliver what we believe to be the contract, and where we can tweak and improve that for the benefit of the island, then that's what we're doing, and jointly we're working towards and strive towards delivering that.
Let's be positive. What other roads, apart from the ones we've already mentioned, that you've done in the last couple of months, so we can say to people, hey, look, go and check these out. Don't be grumpy. You know, Newport High Street's a bit bumpy. There are a few other bumps and lumps around Newport, but hey, go and check out Arrowton in a few weeks' time. What other places?
Well, what Ian's asking is, when are you going to surface his road? He needs to know where you live, Ian, before he can tell you that.
He asked me that off air. You're all right. I mean, there's a number of improvements, and the programme is on our website. So if people go to the website, they can see the fixed list of roads. Date caveat to that in terms of weather, if anything were to turn up or delays, unforeseen gap services on the network. But actually that programme is fixed and is identified. We're currently going through now upgrading it and bringing in some of the feedback from residents, councils, town parish councils, and actually looking to finesse the programme through the back part of the year, which will take us up to October, November, that winter working, and then start again in March and work through March at some point through to the end of March for this year. So, you know, there's some major routes coming in that are due to be in the programme, Fairlie Road, parts of it. You know, there's a full redesign there to make sure that's picked up in March next year. So we're going through those type of programmes, so picking on the main routes. It doesn't get much mainer than that for those residents that use that section. So the fixed programme is on our website. The latter part coming through July will be tweaked and finessed based on feedback that we've now received, and then that will be back on the website.
So you're saying in this time next year that Fairlie Road could be done?
Parts of that Fairlie Road could be done. I mean, we still need to agree how we do it. Looking at feedback, and Phil said, we need to learn lessons. We've gone into Arrowton, we did public consultation, we asked, do you want us to come back in little mini bite size 10, 12, 13 times, or do you want us just to hit it in one go? The same needs to be done for Fairlie Road. I'm not in a position here. If I were, then I'm just riding over what we're saying about feedback and communication and consultation. Yes, I have a project to deliver, but actually, if I can talk to the residents, me personally, but if we can talk, Island Roads can talk to the residents, the businesses, those that are affected, the tourism council, and actually say, do you know what, there's a different way of working this route for all of those stakeholders. Surely that's where we need to be going. Talking with Phil Mew from the Fighting Cocks, could it have been done quicker, was his question, on the mainland? No. But can we do it a different way? Yeah, why not? Let's look at how we do these works and how they impact, and maybe just a slight tweak that has no consequential effect. Maybe that's a win-win for everybody. So we, you know, I can't say it's the whole of Fairlie Road, can't say it's parts, but actually that design is being looked at, and then we'll start a consultation process, learning from Arrowton and the other schemes we've undertaken.
Okay, because I must admit, I didn't mention it, because obviously I got to East Cowes on my bike. But to get to East Cowes, I had to go through Fairlie Road, which is a bit of a nightmare. And on a scooter, is really, because it obviously sinks away on the left-hand side as you're going towards East Cowes. It's very, very scary. But you say it could be done in 12 months' time, you know, if things come together. I mean, what's the difference between that road and Arrowton? Why would you do it, that right? We're going to do it in 12 weeks, the whole shebang, and then that's it, it's done and dusted. Why would you think differently on Fairley Road?
I'm not thinking that we would do it any differently, but I wouldn't want to sit here equally and say that we wouldn't do it differently because of feedback.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm just going to say this is how we're doing it. Don't worry about feeling bad. I'm just going to do a job. And we're not. And we're actually about communication. You know, part of coming on here today is about how we introduce feedback. I can only, you know, we can website, Twitter, feed, you know, newsletters, town and parish councils. But actually, we need, you know, the people that we're affecting now, businesses. You know, I met with the Chamber of Commerce the other day. We still need to link into some of those stakeholders to get the key messages out there. We're still missing people, not for the want of trying, and it's trying to improve on that. So once we get the feedback, yeah, we might do what we've done at Arrowton, a big block. Everyone's in agreement. That's what we do.
I think you should stop listening to the people and just do it. Honestly, well, just do it, because they'll moan and groan whatever you do.
They have done. They all voted for the road closure. They all voted for the road closure, and then when it did, they're still moaning. But actually, that is a fantastic piece of road.
It's going to be, isn't it? I mean, you know, I say that the thing is, I've said it once or twice, they're going to moan no matter what, so maybe it's just a... And the one thing that really irritated me, and I did say to Alison when all this was going on, is that you'd have thought that they'd had a meeting about it, they talked about it, they'd have another meeting about it, they had a vote on it, and they said that's what they wanted to do, and then they started moaning when they realised that, hey, hang on a minute, we're losing a bit of business here. Well, maybe those businesses should have thought twice about what they voted for, but more so, they should have thought about how can we get people into our business during those 12 weeks? Okay, let's have a special deal. Let's help ourselves out a little bit.
I think, Ian, one of the messages that is coming out, and I think I'm sure Paul has taken this on board, is signage is going to be and is a major part of diversion and the plans for diversions, and we've got to get the signage right. And where businesses are involved, it may never happen quite like Arrowton, but there are a couple of businesses really close to the road closures, and they, because traffic was diverted, people diverted round thinking the businesses weren't open. Now, we don't want that to happen. We don't want... Why would we want a business to be known to be closed when it's open, like the Fighting Cocks in Arrowton or Amazon World? We don't want that. We want people to carry on going there. So the only way around that is to make sure signage stretches out and is inclusive to people, to tourists and residents, probably more so tourists than residents, to come to these places because you can get to them. And I think that is one lesson we've learnt. Now, fairly, I mean, I think some obvious problems up there, the school and the hospital, but other than that, the problems will be residents getting in and out their properties, which will be obviously a problem. None of us would want that, but it's going to happen. This interesting thing also, when you talk about this, of course, is if Paul could arrange it, we could be working 24-hour shifts, I assume, with a couple of crews, I don't know, but let's assume we could. But you can bet your life, as soon as we suggest that, people say, don't work at night. And then we'll go further down the road. People say, can't you do this at night? And to a certain extent, you're right. Just do something.
Well, it's pointless, because at the end of the day, you're going to get the same thing. They're going to be moaning and groaning, because a certain amount of people will be unhappy.
Yeah.
And I say, look, you know, you kind of said it last week, and I absolutely 100% agree with you. Hey, look, just bear with it. You know, bite the bullet, because it's going to happen, but once it's done, you won't be hampered anymore. But we've got to do this, and we've got to inconvenience you before we take a step forward.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just not going to be able to do it. See, I'm reasonable. There's too many people on the Isle of Wight that moan and groan about any such things, and you think to yourself, you're up against it the whole time. You must have been a councillor now. You must have seen that. We're an island of, you know, if there was an island games for whinging, we would win. Hands down, we would win.
It's interesting, isn't it? I won't go off the subject, but one of the things, just to reinforce what you're saying, one of the comments we had when we were looking at the parking strategy was, we pay in Shanklin, but you don't pay in Ryde. Why is that? Well, I'm not getting into that, but it's that kind of parochiality that we're dealing with. It's, well, you know, You're paying Shankland. Well, you're paying Shankland. I don't know why you're paying Shankland, but you do. We pay everywhere for parking. It just happened to be that in Ryde, for varying reasons, that we didn't pay. But it seemed to me that what was driving the parking strategy was the fact that you paid elsewhere, you should pay here. Not for any other reason that suited the economy or the sure. community or the residents or anything else, but just the fact that you paid in Shankland. It doesn't seem correct to me. And it's the same thing that I've had innumerable contact with letters, emails, phone calls from people living in Godshill who don't want lorries going through Godshill. The same lorries that go through Arrowton when it's open. And I don't know, what's the answer? Where's the answer? What do we do? The lorries go, wherever you send the lorries, they're going to go past somebody's house who also won't want the lorries past their house. It's an endless circular argument. And what I'm asking residents to do is to try and get past that a little bit and understand that there will be some disruption. We can refine how we can do it. We can get our diversions better. We can get our signage better. But we can't stop the disruption, Ian.
Well, Paul, is there a way of making the roads magnificent over the next 7 years without any disruption at all? Can you do this?
Well, if it can be done, I'd like someone to ring and or text, tweet in, and maybe we can have a look at it. And so, yeah, there'll be disruption for sure, and we can't kid ourselves, there won't be. But if you go back to 2012 national surveys, local surveys, you know, the Islands roads were the worst and actually the biggest concern for residents. And I won't say all residents, but majority, and therefore that's where the focus of attention went. That will take the roads from being some of the worst in the country to some of the best. You know, back in before we took on a project, 20% of the network was under a restriction in terms of width or weight or speed limit because of the condition of the road. Now we're improving those aspects. I'd like to think that the project, because you're talking about positives, which is nice to get an equal balance, you know, we have 10 apprentices that we've taken on, local apprentices. Jeff from HSS, who tweeted in not so long ago last week and said he's employed 11 new people. He's invested capital monies in investment in equipment. Now, that equipment I don't just solely use as Island Roads. That's available for the rest of the island. There's so many added benefits that we have. There's the Isle of Wight Foundation, which grant application closes on the 31st of May. And that's £80,000 from the parties involved in the PFI that put that money forward for local regeneration, for community projects. You know, it's that sort of thing that probably we need to see the bigger benefit of a PFI other than just the disruption, because I can't stop the disruption. No, it's sure. going to happen. We can try and minimise it, yeah. but it'll be there. But look at the bigger picture. We're, you know, Pearl Azumi's been here. We've got 10 apprentices. I know that's not employing all the youngsters on the island, but it's a start. We have graduates, the Isle of Wight Foundation, all of those benefits that actually this project is bigger than that, and it's helping to regenerate. It's making it a place to invest. Maybe companies want to come and reinvest in the island because the roads are better. More tourists are coming across. So, you know, linking that in, you know, it's a success for me, is what we're doing so far. And yes, there's always a negative if you look deep enough, but I think the positives outweigh it.
Let's hope so, because I'm seeing the positives. Yes, we know about the negatives. We've been moaning about them for long enough, haven't we? What about the apprenticeships? Are they apprenticeships that across the board, or are there apprenticeships within, you know, learning roads and how they're built and so on and so forth?
Okay, the apprenticeship goes out as an advert. It's advertised across the island. It's for island residents, the youngsters who apply. They come for interviews, and it's formal interviews. It gives them experience in an interview situation. We take them on board. It's a 2-year process. Some of it is on island, some of it's residential off island. So we train them through different colleges, and they'll end up coming out with an MVQ in highway construction. What we actually then do is look at their aspirations, how they want to perform, and then we have a look at other fast track opportunities within career development. You know, there's one particular apprentice at the moment, might embarrass him talking about him online, is that shown an aptitude and a desire to want to get on. He doesn't always want to be a road worker. I've got him introduced now into regional management and safety meetings. That's linking into the wider part of the business in the group, picking up best practice. He's taken that on. He's now the conduit of information that we take, the ambassador for the workforce for me in a management level, and he's taking that information up and down, cascading it. So people are getting given opportunities that they wouldn't have seen. You know, the work we're undertaking at the moment is 15 times more work than the island has ever seen. So they wouldn't have seen some of the activities we're undertaking, certainly not in the scale of magnitude that we're doing it in. So everybody's learning this, and the consequence of that is some negativity with communications and over diversions. The whole island is learning how do we deal with 15 times more work than we've ever experienced but still gain that benefit of the PFI.
Do you know what's really interesting and fascinating and good as well is that you're talking about youngsters learning about highways and so on and so forth, because we should never ever forget how we got into this mess in the first place. For whatever reasons, that, you know, we're pointing the finger here, we're pointing the finger there, but, you know, it comes down to it. Our roads got messy. Perhaps we didn't have the knowledge. Perhaps we didn't have the youngsters coming through and learning the knowledge of the roads. Because one thing people say about the island roads is they're completely different to everyone else because of what's underneath, what you see on the surface. Is that fair to say?
There's certainly some geological difficulties on the island. Is it any different to anywhere else? Yeah, probably in certain areas it is. You know, the project specifically identifies red and amber zones, which is, you know, geological instability. You know, some of the was it Newport Road or the Graben, I think, as we would know it as locals. That's sort of world-renowned. People come and look at that. It moves up to sort of 100 mil plus every year. People look at it. You know, the project doesn't want to actually fix it so that you don't see it anymore. And people come from around the world to look at that and monitor the geology on the island, you know. And that's part of the beauty of the island. It has urban, it has rural, and you know, it's a wonderful place to be.
So will we be in a position when we've had youngsters come through and the amount of people that are there with the experience, have we got, you know, we safeguard in the future? Because it's all very well doing the roads for the next 7 years, but what happens after that? Have we got expert people that are being put in place to keep them that way?
Yeah, the intention is succession. We go through regular succession team building processes. We're recently doing one now on succession planning, so we're trying to identify those who have potential, developing that potential, sending them to the wider business to get that experience and bring them back. All too often I hear that residents, you know, children grow up, they know they do their college, they're going. They go off island and they come back when they've got young children themselves. And so you lose that that skill set. In addition to that, was there the opportunity for people to stay on the island, to get a career, to drive a career? Probably not. You know, my aspiration is I can find one of these youngsters that, if you like, is still in school at the commencement of this project, and in 25 years, I'm hoping they take my role. You know, that's where we should be aspiring to, bringing the youngsters on, getting that enthusiasm, engender grassroots interest in engineering, and put it on the island. That's what you need.
That's refreshing to hear when somebody says, I want them to take my job. I've been saying that for years.
Yeah. I think there's a number of people for the last 2 years been saying take his job. But, you know, what we need to do is just to build this up. And actually, that is about it, getting local people to stay on the island, be interested in the communities they work in, and actually build up, you know, so be a place to be proud of, because it is a lovely island.
There's a lot of positives coming out of this. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com. While You Wait Services is a real Aladdin's Cave in Pyle Street, Newport. A truly local business that offers a fabulous friendly service. Leather repairs, shoe repairs, key cutting for your car, house or shed. In fact, any kind of keys. They're also experts in engraving, house signs, shoe dyeing. They also do zip replacement for that coat you don't want to throw away. A shop for so many uses. While You Wait Services in Pyle Street, Newport. It's the most useful shop in town.
If you're one of those people that has to live life on a tight budget, you might want to take advantage of the £10 meal deal at Hamilton Spine Foods.
£10 meal deal, I started probably about 2 years ago now, and we've managed to sustain the prices that you still get the full value of that, which is the chicken, the mince, the ham, the sausages, and that chicken will go for a family of four quite easily. You've still got the stock afterwards if you want to, and the bones to make a soup. Sausages obviously is a meal in itself, the ham is another evening meal.
Hamilton Spine Foods, you'll find them on Dace Way and Pyle Street in Newport, also in Wootton and Cowes too.
The Hair Lounge is a unisex hairdresser's in both Newport and Ryde. With its experienced team of stylists, we pride ourselves in offering great-looking hair at affordable prices. Whether you are looking for expert colouring to precision cutting, the Hair Lounge is the place to be. At the Hair Lounge, we pride ourselves on being a forward-thinking salon, which uses the industry's leading brands and techniques to always make sure our clients look and feel their very best. Call them 01983 718584. The Hair Lounge are also at 9 Cross Street in Ryde, or call 01983 564447. The Hair Lounge is the place to be.
As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community? By volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport, you'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, saving lives across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. Flying 7 days a week, 365 days a year, our helicopter is called out many times a day and we can reach anywhere within the Isle of Wight, including the helipad at St Mary's Hospital, within 20 minutes. Funded solely by donations, we rely upon the generosity of the public to keep us flying and saving lives. To see how you can help, please check out www.hiow-airambulance.org.uk.
Does your garden need attention? Why not call LCL, Lee Cook Landscaping, to put it right? They are specialists in driveways, patios and paths, brickwork and stonework, decking and furniture, fencing, water features, lawns and planting, and garden maintenance. You can find them at www.lclandscaping.webs.com. Interested in our services? Then get in touch with us via the form on our contact page and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or email lclandscaping37@gmail.com. That's lclandscaping37@gmail.com. Lee Cook Landscaping is a high quality building and landscaping company partnered by D. Rigby Building and Landscaping.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
Okay, welcome back to part two. Then it's going to be a very short part. We've got Phil Jordan in, councillor. What's your title, Phil?
Executive Lord... Member for Public Protection and PFI.
Lord Jordan of
Binstead.
And we also got Paul Herbert in, and you are head honcho. What are they, director of Island Roads?
Service director of Island Roads.
How long have you been in the job?
Since the project started, so effectively in relation to Island Roads. The 2 years now,
2 years.
Coming into 3 years for this particular project.
You still ain't got any grey hair.
Well, no, but it's coming fast.
Yeah. It's not only the hair. I was 45 when I started this job.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
So what's the biggest headache you've had over the last couple of years?
As we spoke earlier, a lot of that was to do with the worst storms in 200 years and trying to get through that. The effect that had on the asset, you know, in terms of the roads, the drainage that hadn't been cleansed correctly and improved and upgraded over a number of years. So I'm pleased to see that we're over 70% of the way through cleansing all of the drains now. It's those unforeseen bits that people don't appreciate what else we do. But all of the lines have been jetted, so actually all the drains are running clear. We've got about 100 or so improvement schemes to do on drainage, minor drainage, major drainage schemes, and that's all having a positive effect on the network when the heavy rains do come down. Clearly, when there's a torrential downpour, no system in the country will cope with that because we're not designed to do it. But actually, you know, what is there is now working, so we're on track to improving the asset.
Would you come back on a regular basis and update us on, right, this is what we're going to be doing for the next 6 weeks? You know, this is the plan, rough plan for the next 6 weeks, weather permitting.
Yeah, I've got no issue into whether it's 6 weeks or once every 6 months or, you know, whatever it is that helps when there's something to be said. We've just agreed there off air that you didn't appear to be getting some of the notifications we thought you were. So we'll improve on that communication as well. And then between us, I'm sure we can sort something out. I'm more than happy to come back, bust some myths, as you put it, and maybe stand up to be counted when we do something wrong. But actually, that's 200 island residents I employ. And actually, they're going to make a mistake from time to time because they are only human. But they are island residents. So, you know, give them a little bit of credit. The amount of work we're doing is 15 times more than the island has ever seen. We will make an error, that's for sure.
Okay, well look, you've been honest and you've been a decent company actually, and I kind of like the honest way that we're approaching this, and hopefully you come back on a kind of a regular basis and we can talk about and how we can promote and say that this is going on in the future and this is what you might want to avoid for the next 6 weeks maybe, but it's all positive stuff. So thank you for your time, Phil. You can have the last word. I mean, I know what's coming. What would you say to people that are frustrated?
I'd say bear with us, Ian. We're going to get there. this contract will deliver what we want as residents. It will improve our roads. It's going to. It's going to take another 5 years. It's going to be some disruption. But I think, as most people know now, and I do, you glide across some of these new roads, and it's an absolute joy to drive over them. And I think within a short period of time, short number of years, we're going to be doing that all around this island. And I think we'll be very pleased that we've managed to get to the point that we have. And so I'm going to ask residents to bear with us. Let Island Roads do the job. Let's rebuild the roads where we have to. Let's resurface them. Let's do our pavements. And let's have one of the best highway networks in this country.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely agree with that. And, you know, just in a couple of years' time, we'd have broken the back of it and you'd have something else to moan about.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
The bridge or the ferries or...
Oh, don't start.
The bridge.
gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in.